The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
How we start is not so important, but even more important is how we finish.
Next on Life Today, best-selling authors John and Lisa Bevere.
What's amazing to me, how many believers, because they're not armed, prepared, ready, they will react instead of act.
And we're just praying these little prayers of God, just let my kids make it through. Oh God, please just let my marriage not end in divorce. Oh God, we need to pray God's word.
The power you need to never give up. Next.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is James.
And John and Lisa Bevere, two of our favorite people. And if you know John and Lisa, they'll be your favorite people, too. Because I think, really, to know them is to love them. Not that they're not both capable, as I am from time to time, of saying something provocative, something challenging, something that might set you back for just a moment. They're both very strong and very forceful. Betty is the kind of the soft peacemaker. Here's the thing that a lot of people need to know. She stirs a lot of this stuff because she...
And then I say, you tell them.
She does exactly. You need to tell them, and you need to tell them, and you need to tell them this. Isn't that what you do?
I do.
Well, why don't you tell them for a while? You seem
sounds
so
better
sweet.
Coming from you. I want to stay sweet.
Well, let me just tell you this. They write many great books. This one is special. And I know John would say, well, I think all of them are special. That's the reason I write them. But this one, I think maybe for this moment in time, in the life of the church, in the life of believers, the power you need to never give up, he calls it relentless. And he is relentless. As a matter of fact, I endorsed it. And reference the fact that he is exactly that. I think I'll just read what I wrote about it. It's one thing to write on a subject. It's another thing to be a living demonstration of what you share. In word and in his life, John Bevere reveals the powerful effect that the relentless pursuit of God's purpose, what it produces. He inspires readers to move from spiritual passivity to a passionate pursuit of God's will. This is a challenge worth embracing. Would you welcome the author and his wife, John and Lisa Bevere, to Life Today. Good to see you. John, relentless. I sense determination and the need for us to be relentless. You point out in the very specific ways in this book, in the face of adversity, the unexpected, the things that you really would rather not have confronting you, the circumstances or challenges, which we face plenty of them today. We face them nationally, we face them community-wide, and we face them in our lives and families. Mm-hmm. Why did you write this book?
You know, I believe that a lot of people have gone through some very difficult times in the last 3-4 years, and there's a lot of compassion, I believe, in the heart of God, and that got transferred in my heart for these people. And so the book really deals with adversity. Adversity many times pulls people down, when in reality, it should be, as a child of God, something that would propel us forward. It shouldn't be a wall, it should be a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, when we come through adversity, maybe we might not come through the way we think we were gonna come through, but we'll always come through better, stronger, and advancing the purposes of the kingdom of God. And so what God desires for us to do is to take what He has promised us individually, as families, as a nation, and to relentlessly fight to bring it forth into the earth. Mm-hmm. Because we are the ones that, according to Romans 5:17, should be reigning on the earth. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, all who receive God's abundant grace and have been freely put right with Him will rule in life through Christ. And that word rule in life, if you look at another translation, says reign in life as kings and queens. Mm-hmm. And so the problem that I see is many times Christians are ruled by life. they're not ruling in life, mm-hmm. because we go into a passivity state instead of a fighting state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only one fight that we're told to fight in the entire New Testament. Now, the Old Testament's not that way, but the New Testament, we are told to fight in one area, and that is the good fight of faith.
Absolutely.
And that is laying, and he says right after that what that means, that's laying hold of eternal life. Mm-hmm. And so basically, God has promises, provisions, ways of living in the kingdom of God that he desires to be brought into the earth, and he desires us to bring it forth, but it doesn't come by tiptoeing in the tulips or a walk in the park. It comes through resistance because Paul said, I've got to press to obtain the high call. So that's what Relentless deals with. It deals with finishing well, whether it's a season, whether it's a relationship, whether it's our entire life, whether it's an assignment from God. How we start is not so important, but even more important is how we finish.
You know, when I was listening to your descriptions there and thinking about a lot of people in the church, they really don't seem to measure up to what you just described. I think about it, and a lot of times I feel like I'm looking out at people that look like they've just been run over, mm-hmm. and they've laid back. It's almost like, you know, when I was talking in the endorsement that I read about the difference in real passion for the purposes of God and passivity. Mm-hmm. There seems like there's a prevailing spirit of passivity
yeah.
on people where they have given in. As a matter of fact, Betty, you remember when we were really being helped and led through some deliverance mm-hmm. of real bondage in our own lives, well, the person praying for us dealt with the spirit of passivity. He even said he thought you had fear
had
and you were passive. It was like you were accepting it.
And I think a lot of that was I had not grown in my walk with the Lord, and I didn't know that I could be strong, that I could be, that the Lord wanted to work through me. He didn't say, I'll keep you from all those adversities. He said, I'll be with you
right.
through all of them. And he also gave us an armor to put on. Why would he do that if he didn't think we were going to be in battle?
Absolutely.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. What's the purpose of the armor? Yeah. If we're just going to lay back and be run over.
Right, right.
Good.
But he had a purpose in it. And I do know that every time I've had a challenge in my life, I come away stronger yeah. in my relationship with God and in my walk. Mm-hmm. I get back up yeah. and I'm not the same person I was when I got knocked down mm-hmm. because I'm stronger.
Now, a lot of people stay down. That's the spirit
they
of passivity.
That is.
You don't understand that we're more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. Greater is he that's in us than the one that's trying to assault us and bring us down. You know, Lisa, when I think about the times you've been on, a lot of times you'll be talking about how you get stirred up over something that's happening to the kids, your son. Something goes on in the classroom, and you're ready to go. It's like you're relentless for what they need to hear and to protect them. There's always been that mother guard, but there's even more than that. There's what he's talking about. There's a relentlessness that I'm not giving my boys, mm-hmm. our children, to the enemy.
Absolutely.
Period. And I sense your relentlessness in that.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people don't know that they need to rise up and do that. I love what Betty is sharing, you know, but, you know, there's scriptures I love to read, and there's scriptures I hate to live. And the book of James, I hate to live. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. I know that. But when there's pressure, you find out what you trust in. And a lot of people, they cry out for deliverance and they don't find out how to get the strength through that. And, you know, John and I, we saw something happen in our lives. You know, my husband and I, we've always been relentless for truth. But when God begins to want to enlarge your life, which I believe that God wants everybody's life to enlarge in hard times, not shrink. Enlarge. This is a time to enlarge because we get our life from him. And so the pressure begins to forge something. But John, you know, he came into our staff and he said, I just want to give away 250,000 books next year. I threw up in my mouth. I mean, I'm sitting there going, what did you just say? Why would we do that? Why would we give away 250,000 books? He's like, there's these leaders. And I'm like, I'm just panicking. So, I mean, yes, I can be really brave for my kids. But when under pressure, God begins to put another thing, because it's like you get strong. And then he goes, okay, next level, next level, next level. And I remember, I said, how about 100,000? I might have even raised my hands. And John made a fist and he said, my faith is attached to 250,000. And you know what we did in that moment? We prayed a relentless prayer. We prayed a prayer that scared what was scared inside of us. And people need to start praying some scary prayers.
Yes.
And they need to understand that if their prayers are not scaring the enemy, and not scaring the, it's not scary. I mean, if it doesn't scare you, it's not scaring the enemy. Mm-hmm. And we're just praying these little prayers of God, just let my kids make it through. Oh God, please just let my marriage not end in divorce. Oh God, we need to pray God's word, because ultimately the word of God is the reflection of how we are supposed to look, not the mirror and not the environment and not the culture and not the economy, but the word of God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Wow. Take off, John, on some of the points that you make that are really, you know, you feel like we've got to be relentless in.
Well, you know, in listening to our conversation, I think you got to go to Peter's words, where Peter said, as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And you look at Peter, what he says, arm yourselves. You know, I mean, can you imagine a military going to battle without any guns, any knives, any bullets, no boats, no planes, no arms? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like ludicrous. I mean, would that military even contend? No way. Mm-hmm. They would be conquered, they would be prisoners of war, or all killed. Well, as ridiculous as what I just sound, that's how ridiculous it is for a Christian not to be armed to suffer. Mm-hmm. Yet most Western Christians, I have found, are not armed for it. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is, because we're unprepared, when adversity, extreme adversity hits, we go into a state of shock, mm-hmm. a state of bewilderment, a state of amazement. And out of that state of shock, bewilderment, or amazement, we react instead of act. Mm-hmm. A big example of this would be of somebody who's armed and somebody who's not is a commercial airline pilot. Every 6 months, those guys got to go for recurrent training. What do they do in recurrent training? They put them in a simulator. Simulator, just put it simply, when you're in that simulator, you can't tell if you're in a real plane or the simulator. And they throw every adversity they can imagine at those guys. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? They start figuring it out. So many crashes have been averted because of these pilots training in the simulator. Well, back prior to 9/11, 2001, there was a crash on a commuter plane. Back in the days when they had no doors between the pilots and the passengers on the commuter planes, one of those planes crashed. And when the FAA recovered the black box, they could hear the pilot in command and the co-pilot. The pilot's giving the orders, co-pilot's going, check, check, you know, feather the engines, check, pull up the flaps, check, put down the landing gear. On the other hand, they did this all the way to the crash. The other hand, the passengers were screaming in hysteria. What's the difference? The pilots were armed, the passengers were unarmed. So the pilots were acting, the passengers were reacting. What's amazing to me, how many believers, because they're not armed, prepared, ready, they will react instead of act. When in reality, Jesus prepared us. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. And Paul said, it's not going to be some, it's going to be many. Mm-hmm. And so we as believers, if we're armed for them, we'll act properly with the word of God. Mm-hmm. And then what seems to be something that the enemy tries to bring to destroy us, many times ends up being not only us, but many others getting helped. Mm-hmm. For example, when Jesus was with his disciples, he made the statement, I never do anything except I hear my Father say it. Well, he tells his guys after a full day of ministry, I want you to go to the other side of the sea. He gets in the boat, he's exhausted. We all understand that from ministry. I've fallen asleep on my drivers on the way back to the hotel before, after a full day of preaching. And he falls asleep at the bow of the boat, and he's like in deep sleep. And then this life-threatening storm comes. Now, four of these guys on his staff have been on the sea all their life. They're skilled seamen. And here comes this threatening, life-threatening storm that would call these skilled seamen to wake them up and said, don't you care that we're perishing? But before that happens, what I think a lot of Christians don't think through is, what was the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father doing in this storm when Jesus was sound asleep? Do you think the Holy Spirit was going, oh, Father, what have we done? I can't believe I told Jesus to get in that boat. And now the storm's come up, he's asleep, they got no faith. What are we gonna do? You know, we've made a colossal mistake. You know, that is ludicrous when you think of it, right?
Right. So,
because why? God knew that storm was going to come before he ever told Jesus, because he knows the end from the beginning, to get in the boat and go to the other side. And so the thing we've got to take away from this is God will never send us into a storm that he doesn't give us the power to overcome it. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jesus got up and said, guys, I didn't tell you to go halfway and sink. You should have just stood at the bow of the boat and said, hey, the Lord said go to the other side. If we have to swim, we're going. Mm-hmm. And so many times I think when we get a word from God and adversity hits us, That word from God is the other side. Go to the other side. And if we will stand hard on that word, mm-hmm. then I don't care what the enemy throws at us in the way of storms. It doesn't surprise God, and it shouldn't surprise us because Jesus warmed us. He armed us. He said, you're going to receive many tribulations. And so I just want to help people get through these storms they're going through, because I have a feeling
we're going to go through
them. We're going to go through a lot
more. They've been promised. Mm-hmm. But also we have the promise from the promised one and the promise that he will be with us.
Yes.
In every storm, he is the overcomer. Mm-hmm. He can calm the storms. He can prepare a table before us in the presence of enemies and accusers and problems.
That's right.
And we really do need to learn what it is to trust. I have an idea that our trust level is going to be challenged with a lot of things that are going on. Mm-hmm. But also you said you've made two very strong points. Not only are we supposed to face adversity fearlessly, with the overcomer of fear and the one that enables us, but we are also to take charge in so many areas that we have not, where we have dominion and where we rule and reign in Christ. We don't run over people, but the effect of our witness and our influence has a positive effect on everybody on planet Earth. That's what you do as priests and kings, not with a big shot attitude, but with someone who really knows what's going on. You know, I want to do another program and talk some more. When we were talking before we came out here, we were talking about how pressure comes and people, you know, they begin to wonder, what's the source? Let's talk about the source, because a lot of times people wonder, did that come from the devil or did that come from God? Where did that come from and why did it happen? And what is supposed to happen as a result of it in my life? What do I do with this? How I handle it? And I really want to encourage you to get the book, Relentless. It's in the bookstores. If you would like to have John's book today and you make a gift, whatever God puts on your heart, you make that gift, well, we'll be glad to send it to you. Just ask for it. And if someone wanted to know the schedule, where you're going to speak, what website would they go to, John?
MessengerInternational.org. MessengerInternational.org.
There it is on the screen. And I can promise you what John writes is good reading. And it is life-enriching and in so many ways, life-changing. You know, when you were talking about God taking us where we don't know where it's going to end up, when God led us to write Indivisible, do you know what was so interesting? And you may remember me telling you when I had the staph infection after my hip replacement, I was too weak to even pick up a cup of water. The Lord brought two passages up in my spirit when I'm that weak, and he's just basically saying, quote them. And it was Isaiah 58. And, of course, that ends. It's very powerful. It's the real chosen fast. And it talks about how we really look at the hungry and we really look at the downtrodden and how we really look at the people we disagree with, so we're not always just shaking their finger in their face and putting them down, but we can really begin to communicate. And then how we become an answer to people's prayers, and then God answers us quickly and so forth. Then in the end, we're a watered garden, an ever-flowing spring, and we become a restorer of the foundation. But he also had me quote Acts chapter 20. And where Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, wrapped up in, carried by the Spirit, not knowing what awaits me there. But he knew who he was going with.
Wow.
He knew who he was following, and he went faithfully and fearlessly. You remember in the end, John, he said, I finished my course. I kept the faith. That's the way we're supposed to live, and that's relentless living. And this is part of that relentless living when we wrote Indivisible. I hope you have taken the opportunity to get the book and to read it and apply the truths, because I want to tell you something. On planet Earth right now, and in planet America, and all the free world, we face some real serious issues, and we need to know the truth and the principles. Well, I want to show you something that I think is going to move you. You can imagine that when a father sees his son as a wonderful father and husband with four children, but with a heart for missions and the love for God, and then see him on the mission field. You're going to hear our son, Randy, right now on the mission field, talking in a way that I think you're going to identify with. Listen closely. In Cambodia, our son, Randy.
Proverbs tells us that grandchildren are the crown of the old aged. I find this to be true no matter where I travel in the world. Grandparents treasure their grandchildren. While in Cambodia, our mission team came upon a grandfather named Vaughn. And as Vaughn was telling us the names of his grandchildren, his joy suddenly turned to sadness.
I'm Vaughn has lost two generations, a child and a grandchild. No one should have to go through that.
It doesn't have to be that way. In fact, it shouldn't be that way. I don't want this grandfather or any other grandfather to lose another grandchild simply because they have no other choice but to drink contaminated water. I hope you will help us provide Vaughn and thousands of others like him with the gift of life, the gift of clean water.
I thank you, Lord, that Randy has a sensitivity that comes from you. I know I'm talking to a lot of grandparents. I know Randy was, and he's certainly seen two grandparents of 11 beautiful grandchildren, and we'd do anything for them. We really would. I think you understand that. But the fact is, we care about your grandchildren, and we care about the grandchildren that Randy talked about and the children. And they just need clean water. It's not contaminated. And Betty, we can give it to them.
We can. And Randy's right. It doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way, especially since the solution is so simple. We can drill the water wells. We can give them clean water, and his precious grandchildren of that grandfather that you saw can watch his grandchildren grow up and be strong and be overjoyed with the fact that their children, that his grandchildren didn't have to die because of that contaminated water. I hope you'll help us.
Well, you know, Jesus said, if you just give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose your reward, and I don't think we need to start trying to figure out what that reward might be, you know, like all our bills paid and all our problems solved. I wish we could be spiritually elevated beyond that type of thinking to where we could think maybe just the reward would be that we did the will of God, that we became an answer to a grandfather's hope. Maybe it was his prayer, too, that his children and grandchildren would have clean water. And Jesus knew how important that was. He said, if you'll just give a cup in my name, I know the rewards. They're beyond anything you could ever fathom. And I can just tell you that. We've been blessed. Our son, loving his four children, four of our grandchildren, the way he does, the way he loves the Lord and loves us and loves others, it just blesses us so much. Well, I want to ask you to be an answer to that grandfather's request. Would you help us drill a water well? Would you help us drill several of them in the area where Randy was? We are committed to drill with your help, and it's one well at a time. But we've targeted 350 specific areas at the request of missionaries who have such a heart. They've heard the grandparents and the parents cry for help. They've seen the children suffer and die. Would you dial that number right now, and would you help us drill a well? Could you give the $4,800? You know what? I think if you can, I think you will, and I want to thank you. You can put it on your bank card or write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift. Many people say, I can't give an entire well, but I could help toward it. Some of you could give $2,400 and pray someone joins you. We've got a well, or $1,200 and pray three join you. Pray, be in prayer like that grandfather and with that hope. Whatever you can do, but remember this. Your gift, whatever it is going to save so many lives. $144, 30 people, water for the rest of their life. We have some beautiful gifts that we want to send you. Whatever gift you make, we want to send you the devotion, Arise. We want to send you the Bible study CD and DVD series from these incredibly gifted women that you've seen on Life Today. If you make a gift of $100 or more, and the beautiful line in the lamb bronze, if you can give at least $1,200 toward a well. Father, I pray right now people will move with compassion, and make the gift you put on their heart in Jesus' name. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for going online or writing that check. God bless you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on Life Today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I want you to remember that, your gift of $48. And by the way, I always push for the largest gift. I've never found people finding it difficult to think small. I always want to expand the vision, encourage you to broaden your borders and your outreach. But whatever you can do, and if you would like to have John's book today, Relentless, and you make a gift, whatever God puts on your heart, you make that gift, well, we'll be glad to send it to you. Just ask for it. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to John and Lisa Bevere? Thank you, Betty. Thank you. Love you. We'll be back. We're going to talk some more about how we handle pressure, where it comes from, how we can be relentless and more. Thanks so much for watching.
Faith, family, and freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, now available in paperback at online and retail bookstores. Tomorrow, best-selling authors John and Lisa Bevere challenge believers to be relentless.
God will allow things to come, and God expects us to fight back.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.